You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I want to rejoin with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tammy, you have gone from, as you, you know, we got you to switch careers.
And I did.
As part of our life plan last year,
yep,
we really were very intentional about wanting you to leave your career so we could start investing in real estate.
Correct.
And it's been interesting because, you know, I did it for 20 years, 190 properties that had flipped, but you and I hadn't done it together.
We hadn't, and we're still married.
And we are still married. So you and I decided to venture out on this process.
We did.
You left your job, and now you are a full-time real estate investor with us partnering.
Yep.
And I thought that would be a good topic of, you know, for us to talk about, because there are a lot of people out there that maybe want to do it. You know, maybe you have a full-time job and you don't have time to venture out and do it on your own, but you have interest in real estate.
Right.
How can you do it? Are there, you know, who can you take on as a partner? And for us, we decided to partner as a couple.
Right.
Some couples, that may not be a good idea.
It may not, but with both of our, you know, our expertise, our wisdom, our experience, it's just a good match.
It is. So when we think through, okay, what advice can we give to people out there and let them glean a little bit from our mistakes too?
Sure.
So one of the first things I would encourage people to do is know the strengths and weaknesses of each person.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to speak specifically if it's a couple, husband and wife, that want to go invest in real estate.
Well, it can
together.
Just be partners too in general. But we'll probably talk for more from our experience on this one. But keep it in mind that it applies to anybody that you go into partnership with.
Right.
Is knowing that, definitely knowing the expertise.
Right. So knowing the strengths and weaknesses of each person.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about us specifically.
Sure.
This, okay. So you have a bookkeeping background.
I do.
There's a lot of bookkeeping that has to go with the accounting part of buying and selling properties, keeping track of all the receipts and all of that.
Very, very true.
So
yes.
That's obviously a strength for you. We'll put that in your column.
Okay.
And your
check.
Check. Right,
I got
check
that
for
one.
Tammy. For me, I have a lot of experience in it.
Yes.
So for me, like, really
that deserves two checks for you.
Well, but guiding and mentoring you, but this was an interesting dynamic, I think, between the two of us, because even with the experience, I don't have the time to be on properties every day. I have a full-time career.
Right.
I am very busy. I have, you know, 25-person office that I'm managing, producing personally as a loan originator.
Right.
You were doing the radio show. We have 8 kids. We have a grandkid, all of those things. So I'm very limited on the time.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing my strengths and weaknesses, one of my weaknesses is time.
Right.
One of my strengths is experience. So
right.
I guess I kind of act as the mentor of sorts.
Yeah.
On the project.
Trying to figure that out between us about here's one thing that I would definitely recommend is really lay out the expectations of the partnership when you go into it. Because we each have them. We don't always speak them.
Right.
So
actually speak them.
Right.
Get them out there.
So, you know, you may assume someone's got is taking care of something, or you expect that person to do something the way you might do it, but they do it differently. So getting those expectations out and getting a game plan on how someone approaches it. Because this is a simple, silly little example. You put one sock on and one shoe on, and I put both my socks on and then I put my shoes on. That's a little simple difference. It's silly, but think about how you approach things as a couple, how you do it individually, because that needs to be talked about. There's no right or wrong way. It's just different.
Some things, the approach is important.
It's very true.
Other things,
you just got to figure that part out.
Right, give the other person space to just be and do it their way.
That is, I think that's number one. Like that needs to be figured out.
Right. So, like your role in the properties, we knew was going to be, you was going to be handling all the rehab.
Right.
That's the
daily
thing.
Because I have a tool belt.
Right. Right. That's. You know, and that could include a lot of work you're doing personally.
Right.
I mean, you've been laying flooring.
Right.
You laid hardwood floors this week.
Yes, my fingers hurt.
Right. So, you know, you're doing those things. And what did I tell you from the beginning on that? For myself, my own role when it came to that work, what did I tell you?
You wouldn't have time for that.
Well, and then that I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can't do it, because I'm pretty handy.
No,
and I've done all those
jobs. You could. Right.
But I can't allow myself to get out there and do it.
No.
So,
and I haven't seen you out there.
I hung a light fixture just the other day for you.
And oh, yes. Check mark. Yeah, okay. I've done a couple check things, mark but, on that side.
But in general, I'm keeping my distance exactly for that reason because you know, I can't let myself get involved.
No,
in that.
You get distracted. I know.
I love
and
it.
It's
I'd love
all,
to be out there doing
it's
that.
It's all good. Right. It's fine. It kind of gives me like the part, the creative side of me because I do have a counting side in me, but I have the artistic creative side of me that gets excited about the possibility. We've talked about how we're visual people. Well, I can see things in the rough, and you can see things finished. Like, I've learned that difference about us, is that you can vision things, but it takes you a while to get it to that point where I feel like we're just different, but it's okay because it takes both of us. You bring a little more logic to something I might blow out, you know, pimp it out or whatever right, you want to say. And you might go, oh, I don't quite see that or whatever. So, I mean, it's a good balance that we have about how we see things.
Yeah, so like that's another one of the role separations is that you know, I kind of feel like your job, you are managing the details of the cost of the job.
Definitely.
However... Mm-hmm. From a higher level view, I think I'm there to help create a little accountability to bring it back down to earth sometimes and say, no, you can't blow out this property to that degree and still make money on it.
Right.
There has to be a return on investment.
Well, it was interesting how when we looked at this property that we're working on right now, and I approach it a little differently. I think about if I could blow it out completely, what would it be? And then I bring it back down to reality. You approach it more conservatively first.
I approach the opposite direction.
You do.
And say, what's the minimum?
You could do. And then you're even talking about siting, and I'm going, no. And so right. It's like, but we're a good balance because that just works.
What's really worked for you is you're really good at finding the deals. And you're willing to find creative ways to keep the cost down. And why don't you give... But I tell you what, we're actually going to – let's come back to that part of it because let's start kind of in the beginning of a transaction.
Okay.
So a couple wants to invest in real estate.
Right.
Some of the first steps they need to do because we know that finding the property is one of the first things you have to do. And really even before that is you have to get some education and learn about the process, join an investment club, read some books, something like that.
However it is you find those resources, whatever that is, if it's you know, for me, mentors, having you, having a couple of my friends that are involved in it, having my parents that have been all of those people in my life has helped my education to this point.
Right. So then once you've had those mentors, you get a little education, now pick an area that you want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, for us, we knew we were going to give up access to a lot of properties by narrowing our focus to St. Charles County simply because we live there. And for me, if you're rehabbing properties, I have to have you in fairly safe neighborhoods.
Right, right.
And we may give up a little bit of profit.
And because
of
all the kids and activities and things like that, we chose something closer this time.
Right, it needs to be fairly close to home. So we're 10 minutes from the property.
Mm-hmm.
You can run over there. And
I'm
get
not
to
running,
a very,
I'm driving.
Right, yeah, you're not running, you're driving. Pedal that car. So... You know, then you think about how are you going to find that property?
Right. Now, that is probably the underestimated part of the whole thing I did, was the amount of time that it took to find a property.
To find the
right one for me, anyway. So the analysis, they call it the analysis paralysis. So you're analyzing everything over and over. No, this one, not that one. No, maybe, I don't know. What about this? You know, so you have this plethora of data about different real estate properties out there, enrolling real estate and, you know, real estate agents in my search, helping me find certain things. And in the end, I went to the courthouse and bought a property.
Right. So as we looked at a lot of properties and you discern through where you're going to find the best deals, because when we searched the MLS, listed properties, there was no meat left on the bone. There really weren't.
At that point in time of purchase, there was in the area we were looking, there wasn't
Very hard to find one where there's any kind of margin to be made.
Right.
And if you can't make a margin, you shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
We're not doing it just to stay busy. We're doing it to feed our family.
Right.
And actually, you have to create some profit.
Right.
So buying at the auction, let's talk about that experience because...
Yeah, that was interesting.
When the auction knocks most buyers out completely.
Right.
And this is, when we say at the auction, this is when they're foreclosing on properties down on the courthouse steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's literally when they're foreclosing.
Right.
And there's a little bit of data you can research in advance on the property.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know what data to research.
Right.
And skimming through tons of properties.
Tons.
Because 9 out of 10 properties at the auction don't sell. They go back to the bank.
So that was another underestimated point of time because went to auction, house got, they decided not to auction the property and then went back and went forward and went back.
Right,
and
you do a bunch of prep work on a property.
Yeah, and you're ready to go.
Well, and the homeowner catches their mortgage up.
Which is great for them. I'm happy for them.
Absolutely.
Very. That's what I'd rather see.
But you have to do research on a lot of properties to find the one you can pull the trigger on.
Right, exactly. And so that was another time suck, I'll say. And driving around, because again, on properties on auction like that, you can't go in them.
Right, so...
Legally.
Yeah, so let's actually hold that thought for just mm-hmm. a minute, because we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
But when we return, we're going to be talking about investing in real estate as a couple... And the property that Tammy and I just bought at the auction
mm-hmm.
and the surprise you get when you walk through the door when you buy a property, sometimes sight unseen.
Right.
You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.